So we're now going to move on to agenda item 4, Smale Borough Council local plan review pre-submission consultation draft. And I would like to invite Councillor Baldock to speak and propose the recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to add an alteration, if I may, adding the following recommendation, number 5, to give delegated authority to the Head of Planning in consultation with a Cabinet Member for Planning to include a site MU3 in the draft plan for the purposes of a Regulation 19 consultation and to determine the ongoing appropriateness of this site's inclusion within the plan based on the Secretary of State's decision on the related appeal once this is known. The decision was taken at Cabinet to remove the site from the plan for the purposes of a Reg 19 consultation, and as members will be aware, this decision has been subject to challenge by solicitors acting for Quinn Estates. Having reflected on this and given that the outcome of the appeal still remains unknown at this stage, I am now of the view that it would be preferable to include the site in the Reg 19 consultation in order that all options remain on the table until the appeal outcome is known. Given the unique set of circumstances surrounding this site, it is right that we treat this site as a special case and give the Head of Planning, in consultation with myself, delegated authority to determine whether or not it has a place in future iterations of the plan based on the outcome of the appeal. As the draft local plan proceeds towards submission to the Secretary of State, members will be kept informed of progress on this site inclusion within the plan.
Thank you, Councillor Baldock. Members, I would ask for consent for the alteration, please. Or is there anyone that's disconsent? Dissenting. I'll take that as a no. Thank you very much. Councillor Baldock, you can progress with your recommendations.
Can I start my 5 minutes now?
You can.
Thank you. The local plan review is a beast of two halves. On the one hand, we have put forward some really strong policies that will deliver improvements on affordable housing, environmental standards, and deliver housing for life and for the elderly and the disabled on a far wider scale than has ever been the case previously. It also serves as the start of a long overlooked need for a positive regeneration strategy for Sheerness. But on the other hand, we face meeting a government-imposed increase in our housing target of an extra 10,000 houses. Is this something I want to do? No, not at all. But if we reject this local plan review tonight, those 10,000 houses won't go away. We won't have defeated the government, they will still be there, and if we don't decide how to allocate them in this local plan review, there are others who will seek to do so instead. So the choice before us is blunt. Allocate these houses ourselves, having followed due process and with the strong positive new policies, or lose all control of the process. Some people are arguing that this is too rushed and that the removal of the government's previous imposition of 14,000 houses means we can take longer. It doesn't work like that. New targets can be introduced in a very short time frame, but having an almost immediate effect by the government. I don't think anyone realistically expects those new targets will be lower than the 10,000 we face tonight. If we reject this plan tonight, we will have to start again. We will need to revisit the settlement strategy, possibly putting out a new call for sites. We may not be in position to submit a new version of a local plan for 12, maybe 18 months. And there's no guarantee whatsoever that any new version will be any more palatable. Indeed, as it's quite likely our target is increased again in the intervening period, we are likely to see even more housing allocations having to be considered. And in the meantime, we will again fail to demonstrate a 5-year housing supply. We do not operate in a vacuum. Others will see any delay tonight as an opportunity to put forward their own schemes, schemes that will not have to comply with new policies not yet submitted. Already we expect planning applications to come forward in the next 2 or 3 months for the Bobbin Garden Village, for Heisted Valley, and for 2,000 homes linking Tenham with Bapchild and onto Merston. Many of us will also be aware of advanced schemes for 1,400 homes at Dunkirk, and press comments indicate that plans for housing at Eastchurch and even more at Barton Hill may be forthcoming. That is the reality of rejecting this plan tonight. These are schemes that the local plan panel has rejected as not appropriate to the settlement strategy we have advanced in this plan. If we reject this plan now, both schemes represent the sort of alternative plan developers and the courts can impose upon us. And there are further pressing reasons for the vote to happen at this time. The next review is due to be adopted by late spring, early summer 22. Any further delay in submitting this Reg 19, there are serious challenges to meeting that timescale. This will again leave us open to challenges and opportunistic development attempts. It will also mean our new policies will start going out of date as soon as they are adopted. I would like briefly to touch upon the tenant proposals, which seem to have aroused some concern. Policy A01 requires a master plan to be drawn up for the village, a process that will involve the local community very strongly in its consultations and considerations. By taking this approach, we are seeking to ensure that no development takes place until such a master plan is agreed. There is an opportunity, but not a requirement, to deliver a bypass for Tenham. This is something that many people have requested for many years. This local plan review is probably the last opportunity to offer such a bypass. So we will consult with local people and the local parish councils about the master plan for Tenham and implement those findings in the review of the local plan due for 2027. Under this local plan review, which will also introduce a countryside gap to prevent the coalescence of Tenham and Bapchild, nothing extra is to be built in Tenham until 2028 at the earliest. If this review is defeated tonight, there will be no countryside gap between Tenham and Bapchild and no halt on development in Tenham. I'd ask people to consider that when they come to vote on this. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Baldock. I'd like to invite Councillor Gore to second this recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to second this recommendation, and I would like to speak to the motion at this point. I think, as Councillor Baldock said, this is a plan of two halves, and I really would like to draw attention to the members to the development management policies that are coming with this plan. These are quite different to the plans that are in bearing fruits. One only has to look at the plans and the development management policies around climate change to see that these are targeted, measurable, and timed policies which will aim to deliver the climate change agenda that this council has adopted through the climate change and ecological emergency resolution that was one of the first things that this council brought in. Likewise, the biodiversity requirements for this plan are over and above those of the policy framework, and the viability assessment supports a 20% increase in biodiversity. The transport role of this plan also is a step change from the requirements before, and actually is integral to the plan. Several of the developments, particularly those around Faversham, require a significant lowering of the trip rate by move to active travel. This further supports the climate change agenda. So in these circumstances, I feel that any delay to the plan will jeopardize bringing in of these policies. The sooner that this plan is adopted, the sooner, or even moving towards adoption, then the sooner these policies can begin to have weight and will begin to influence the type of development that takes place. The spatial distribution of the allocations as well has been chosen with the ability to use non-car travel in mind. You only need to look at where the rail stations are in relation to the plan to see that this is something that has been taken into account. The best form of non-car travel is, in terms of its carbon footprint, is electric mass transit, and we have an electric mass transit running through our borough. So in conclusion, I would recommend that this plan is progressed. The consultation will take account of any objections to the plan, and I'm sure that people will be quick off the mark to make their representations known. But I would commend this plan to the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gould. I'd like to invite Councillor Truelove to speak, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do think this is the most significant agenda item we've had over the last 2 years. It's extremely sensitive, and I hope the council will show itself at its best this evening with obviously robust debate, but with respect to members during the course of the debate. We all understand that one of the reasons there is a coalition administration was the growing public concern in 2019 about the likely direction of this review and the prospect of heavy reliance on the concept of garden communities, and one very large and intrusive one in particular. This draft is the summation of much professional hard work by officers over the last 2 years, with considerable input from the Cabinet and detailed examination by the local plan panel. So as the previous two speakers have said, it really is time to move forward, to achieve clarity for our communities and also for developers. Otherwise, we lay ourselves open, as Councillor Baldock indicated, to aggressive applications and developments. And I think, as Councillor Gould really said, this is the beginning of a process. It's not all wrapped up. It will involve public consultation and then an examination in public, of course. We will take note of both representations, and of course, changes are possible, and consultation, as Councillor Baldock indicated, will take place, particularly in Tenham. There is much to be really proud of in this draft. However, it's inevitable that housing allocations will occasion most interest. So let me repeat, as Councillor Baldock has, the number of houses required is not the choice of this council. It is misleading to reference the removal of the government's sadistic algorithm. We have to work on the numbers from central government that have not changed. And if they do change, they'll probably change in the wrong direction. I'd just like to say I've had a lot of emails about consultation, and I've read what people have had to say. Until we get past this evening, there wasn't a complete draft to consult on. If this is passed this evening, we will go into a period of consultation which will be meaningful. And whilst I acknowledge the difficulties due to COVID and the technical nature of the plan, and of course the time limit, which we hope might be moved because the elections really ought to be moved backwards and therefore the purdah could be later, I believe local communities should look to their ward councillors for expertise, guidance and leadership. But I think we've acted reasonably, and I look forward to hearing the rest of the debate. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Truelove. I'd like to invite Councillor Horton to speak, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me, Alan Horton?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, I'd like to pay tribute to and thank James Freeman and Jill Peat, along with their teams, for the sheer volume of complex and challenging work they've done in preparing this plan, especially in a time frame that, in my view, was unnecessarily hasty. I am sure the demands will have led to uncomfortable moments for our staff, and it is a credit to their dedication and professionalism that they delivered on the job. We want a good local plan, one that has been examined in public and approved, one that recognises there will be winners and losers, but does so having sought their views and with empathy. A plan that makes clear where development will be and what it will look and feel like, and the infrastructure, businesses and local services needed to support our growing community. The Coalition complain that the Conservative government are driving house building. Yes, they are. Our nation is short of the numbers and sorts of homes we need for our growing population. Let's not forget the Conservatives won 162 more seats than Labour and a whopping 354 more than the Liberal Democrats on a manifesto to build more houses, a manifesto promised that those parties also made. This plan has been rushed by a cabinet member seemingly in a panic to get approval to submit the plan to the Secretary of State tonight. Oh yeah, and here's the rub. The cabinet members wants our mandate to make changes if he thinks it's appropriate. Changes like pulling land in his ward from the plan without proper evaluation just hours before the cabinet meeting and now putting it back in again before this meeting. I think this approach places the whole plan at risk and opens us to legal challenge, and I won't be part of condoning it, and I urge members not to either. The rush for an approval to submit the plan tonight doesn't make sense. There's no intention of submitting the report till late in the summer. How can we? It's incomplete and riddled with inaccuracies, assumptions, and counterintuitive arguments, and crucially, it's not been consulted on yet. Tonight's recommendation include a consultation that isn't what people expected. It may be the word of the law, but it isn't in the spirit of the law. An administration that stated it wants greater public involvement and promised to listen more to the public has removed an entire consultation phase from the preparation of this plan. Simply put, their approach is, this is what you're getting, and we don't even get a take it or leave it. All they want is to know if it...
30 seconds left.
Is it a sound plan? Not as I would expect a good plan, or best compromise, or a plan our community understand and agree with. It's as if any plan will do, and our community will suffer if we let them get away with it. The consequences are a plan that creates chaos, fantasy numbers, the wrong houses, the wrong places, and all without the infrastructure or services to support them. It's a plan I don't think developers are likely to build.
That's 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Holden. Before we go on to the members' questions, I would like to remind everybody that the instant messaging system is for members' use only, and to advise me that they wish to talk and not for use of the general public. I'm sorry, but if you continue to use them, we will take you out of the meeting. Thank you very much. I'd now like to invite members to speak, and they have 3 minutes to do so. And the first one to speak is Councillor Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Tonight we have before us what we are told is a good local plan. It may be a plan that lays out where the Coalition want housing to go, but that's about as far as it goes. It isn't the radical approach that Councillor Baldock indicated when the Coalition took control. The administration have just rolled over and accepted the numbers given to them. It was actually the Conservative administration that challenged the housing numbers when undertaking the Bearing Fruits local plan. The only plan I can see being brought forward is one where the administration look to push aside any responsibility and blame others. The document we have before us this evening makes it clear. This supersedes the Bearing Fruits document. This is a local plan which, if approved, is completely under the ownership of the Coalition, and every member of the parties within the Coalition have to accept full responsibility for it. The last time the Council consulted on the local plan review was in April 2018, whilst under Conservative control. The letter for the Looking Ahead consultation sets out that further consultation will be carried out on more detailed options for development strategies through 2019 before consultation on a full draft, including land allocations through 2020 prior to submission to the Secretary of State. Since the last public consultation on the local plan review, which predates the current administration, detailed proposals under the Garden Communities Prospectus have been put forward to inform the growth strategy, and the direction of the local plan review has changed significantly to a set of sites that have not been subject to any public consultation, many of which failed the test of suitability and availability in the SHLA. In light of this, whilst we have had briefing notes from officers, maybe Councillor Baldock could confirm that the process itself has been carried out in a way that avoids challenge at a later date and would be robust to scrutiny by an inspector and stakeholders at the examination in public. Progressing the plan in this manner without early public engagement on the growth strategy and site selection would be viewed by many as an extremely unusual way of forming a robust plan, and if subject to a successful challenge would put the entire plan back, thus prolonging rather than speeding up the whole process, and leave us open to unplanned development by not having a 5-year supply. Regulations and good practice require the council to submit a range of statements to ensure the lengthy and complex local plan process is transparent and to engage with those who are unaccustomed to such processes at each stage. Please could Councillor Baldock confirm that to facilitate an open and transparent local plan process, the council will submit a legal compliance checklist, as they are encouraged to do so by the Planning Advisory Service, and which is standard best practice to demonstrate legal compliance in an accessible format. It is important this council has a robust local plan so we can control development. Indeed, the last minute U-turn of removing Wise's Lane from the plan and including it in the consultation again shows decisions made so far are far from robust. In this case, no plan will be better than a bad plan. This is a bad plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Councillor Dendor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I want to refer to the couple of items on the report, particularly in relation to the transport strategy. 2.12, the MPPF requires local plans prepared in accordance with evidence. And then further down on that paragraph, there are a few pieces that have not yet been reported to members in their full or and or final form. Whole plan viability assessment, local importance countryside gap study, transport modelling run of allocated sites. So we are asking the public to look at an incomplete plan where they are asked to make judgments on the basis of information they don't have, particularly the transport modelling. It's said in the report, and one of the recommendations is that there would only be minor amendments on the basis of transport strategy already discussed. Well, how do we know that? We now know that the housing is going to be reassessed. We don't know what the numbers are going to be, either up or down. So how can the transport strategy be made out to an unknown amount? So I will put forward to everybody, and I would ask Councillor Baldock, how a Regulation 19 plan can be put forward for the public consultation without this evidence. Also, could I ask that Councillor Baldock explains the evidence that would be relied on in the soundness of the plan will only be made available after the public consultation. And I really do feel that the documentation not being able to be viewed by the public and not people not being able to see it is also a danger. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dendor. Councillor Winkless, please.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Though I do understand the concerns of the rural communities in Swale and the communities down at the Faversham End, since moving to the city-born area 30 years ago, I have also seen massive development take place in the city-born area. Unfortunately, it's the government that is imposing these unrealistic targets upon us. Open space in the city-born area is disappearing, and that this local plan, in my opinion, seeks to address a balance in housing development across the borough. I'm afraid I shall be supporting this plan in principle. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Winkless. Councillor Roger Clark, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The plan is so tied up in the housing numbers that infrastructure has been completely forgotten. On the face of it, it may look good for Sittingbourne with Councillor Baldock pushing all the additional houses on to Faversham, but this plan fails to consider issues with highways and infrastructure. How can you add 850 homes in Sittingbourne town centre and 1,400 in Tenham and not expect Sittingbourne town centre to be ram-packed with traffic? The roads can't cope already, and it will be residents all across Sittingbourne that will be impacted by this. What happens when the M2 closes and all those trying to get to the 4,000 homes in Faversham that come through to Sittingbourne? If the local plan review document fails to get accepted by the planning inspector, we will be opening ourselves up to applications coming in all over the place. applications like the Bobbin Garden Village. It is places like Bobbin, Iway, Newington and even Ballin that will then be having applications to fight. Even if the plan is approved, we have a high percentage of windfall sites. Nobody knows where the sites will go until the application comes in. Will they go to Faversham, where will the majority of the housing is going already? Will there be more in the town centres? No. It will be the villages surrounding Sidmouth that will be hit. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Marchington, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Tonight we've got a very important and busy meeting, so I'll be brief of what I want to say. There's an anomaly in the local plan referring to the Queenborough ward, in that the halfway houses, Belgrave Road, Barton Hill Drive, are listed as being Minster halfway, when in actual fact they're in the Queenborough halfway ward. Therefore, that adds a further 820 houses to the Queenborough list, which now totals 1,964. Also, that means that more than a third of the council's current 5,344 total five-year plan for building is to be built in the Queenborough ward. Well, Chairman, this is a serious unfair percentage for the Queenborough halfway, and therefore, on behalf of the residents of Queenborough and halfway, I cannot back the local plan as it stands at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Martington. Councillor Whiting, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I speak against putting this inadequate draft plan to Public Regulation 19 consultation in its current state. Can I say to the Cabinet Member, this has not caused some concern in Tenement Linstead, it has caused widespread anger and disbelief. Since news of the proposals in the draft before us were made available to the parishes locally, the response has been astonishment. Astonishment that such far-reaching changes to the Reg 18 consultation should be thrown in with no meaningful further consultation with the parishes. Not one of my parishes can tell me when they had the opportunity to consider the council's preferred options before it went into Reg 19. It's an astonishment at the lack of detail in the transport plan, an astonishment at the lack of detail about mitigation of air quality issues arising from the increase in traffic that the proposed development would bring. Astonishment at the lack of details regarding the Tenham area of opportunity. We're being asked to agree an area within a red line without any details about what might be coming forward to fill the space within that red line. And once that red line is drawn, there'll be no going back, regardless of what consultation takes place after the plan is adopted next year. I can't agree to a plan going forward to Reg 19 that leaves so many unanswered questions. The traffic from new development in Tenham and Linstead will have to go somewhere. It will either go through the air quality management area in Tenham, and even if a bypass is built, that same traffic will have to go through the ACMA in East Street or the ACMA in Ospringe. There's simply no plan to mitigate any of that harm. The plan we're being asked to speak on tonight is in itself inaccurate. I point by way of example to a map within the transport plan showing a housing allocation in Swan Street Avenue in Sittingbourne. I understand that allocation has now been removed. This seems to be a symptom of the speed at which this administration is rushing through its plan. And I would ask Councillor Baldock with what evidence the allocation in Swan Street Avenue was removed. I believe there is time and ample justification for a Regulation 18B consultation prior to moving to Reg 19. And I'll end, Mr. Mayor, if I may, with a quote today from the Campaign for the Protection of Rural England. It says, it's CPRE Kent's view that the 2018 versions of these documents created a legitimate expectation
30 seconds left.
That there would be a Regulation 18 draft preferred option public consultation on which to comment. To be voting to approve a plan without this additional consultation is at best foolhardy, and to be voting on a plan without this additional consultation and that is not yet finished is positively irrational. I urge the administration to reconsider and hold a meaningful Reg 18B consultation before going out to Reg 19. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Whiting. Councillor Ballantyne, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, there are many ways, many things, aspects about this plan that are good and that I would like to support. And I would like to find a way to be able to vote in favour of the consultation in order that we can get a plan in place as quickly as possible. My concern is that there will be a genuine consultation that will give the public every opportunity to have their say, and most importantly, for that say to be taken into account. So the issue is whether we go to a Reg 18 or a Reg 19 consultation at this stage. And I shall listen to the debate, and I generally am not sure which way I will vote. But there is a remaining problem. I'm very pleased to hear that Wises Lane has gone back in. I think that was a mistake to take that out and would have left us open to legal challenge. And I'm very pleased to hear that the bypass at Tenham will now be included in the consultation on the master plan for Tenham. And I think that's not what it says in the plan at the moment. It says the bypass will be necessary and they'll consult on everything but the bypass. So I'm pleased with that change of mind. There remains for me one particular anomaly in this plan, and that is the development at Neame's Forestall. This is the only site which is in a Tier 5 settlement. It's the only site, there are two sites in it that were in the Schlar, there were three sites that were in the Schlar assessment, and all three were rated as being unsuitable because they are in an unsustainable location. And it also involves building in the area of outstanding natural beauty. The plan is to build 90 houses on a village which I think is already less than 90 houses. So we're going to double the size of the village. Now, I take the point of Councillor Gould that there is a railway at that site. And I agree with the principle of building where we can use railways. The problem is that that station has less than one train an hour calling at it for most of the day. The site is relatively inaccessible. There's no bus service, and there's a flooding problem with a bridge adjacent to the site. In the last 3 months,
30 seconds left.
I know of three delivery vans that have been stuck in that. I would like to propose an amendment, and I suggest that the Neame's Forestall site is taken out and it can come forward as a windfall site, which I think is the appropriate way to deal with that because of the problems at that particular location.
Thank you, Councillor Ballantyne. Do we have a seconder for that amendment?
I will second that, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Ben O'Martin.
Thank you, Councillor Martin. We will now speak on the amendment, and I would ask members to start debating on this amendment, please. Is there anyone that wants to speak on this amendment? Okay, then we'll take a vote.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I would get the opportunity to respond.
Of course you would, Councillor Baldock. Please go ahead.
Yeah, and Mr. Mayor, I have indicated I wished to speak, Alan Horton.
And myself, Councillor Hunt. And
that's came in after that's I said it, out, so yeah. I apologise for that. So, Councillor Baldock, if do you want to wait and let these speak first?
Yes, please.
Okay. Councillor Horton, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Ballantyne, for your amendment. I don't know the location that you are describing well, but I think your amendment is a symptom of the plan. There are lots and lots of anomalies in the plan, and we could this evening go through them one by one at a time and try and work out what's best for each individual one. You say yours would be best if it came forward as a windfall site and it wasn't supported in the examination of sites in the Schlar. Others will have other problems. The issue is that the plan is not at a state where it is reasonable to ask the public under Regulation 19 their view, and I think you have highlighted one of the many faults. I am sure that what you have said is correct, and I would support you in your amendment, but it is just one amendment of which I am sure there would be many to follow. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Holton. Councillor Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would just give a word of caution, because when we are looking at taking out sites, as we have seen already, there's Cabinet have already made a decision to remove one site, which the local plan panel recommended to include. And we don't know what consequences that has had yet. I'm sure there could be some challenges. But if we're going to start picking out sites, you then have now just reduced the numbers down to what you are going to be deciding on the rest of the plan. And we don't know, again, what challenges this is going to bring. So I think it's dangerous to be start taking things out at a late stage without the evidence and everything to back this up. So I won't be for it.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Councillor Ellen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hope you can hear me. Be supporting the plan. This reservation, I know, is always a big thing about in my backyard and all that. But we have to supply homes for young people. That's the way it's always been. Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. I'm afraid we can't hear Councillor Ellen's comments at all. It's Councillor Bowie, and I don't know whether anyone else can, but I did not hear a word of that. Apologies, Councillor Ellen.
Mr. Mayor, it's David Clifford. Sorry to interrupt. I have a feeling Councillor Ellen was talking on the motion rather than the amendment, so we could try and get him in again once the amendment has been dealt with.
Yes, that'll be fine. We've got him down on the list to speak on the, but he came up again under the amendments. But sorry, there's no others wishing to speak. Oh, so is there? Oh, sorry. No, we've also got David, Councillor Simmons. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, just very briefly, I have a lot of sympathy with what. With what Councillor Valentine has said, and I do know the site, and I do think it's most unsuitable. But again, like Councillor Hunt, I think it's dangerous to be removing sites tonight. I would rather see the whole thing go back to the drawing board, because I just don't think it's fit for purpose. So I won't be supporting the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Simmons. If there are no other members wishing to speak on the amendment, I'd now like to ask Councillor Baldock to reply, please.
Thank you. I do, to a certain extent, agree with Councillor Hunt, but we can't have amendments that take out significant numbers without the balanced approach of the local plan panel and the evidence to do so. We do have to allocate a certain percentage of small sites, and we had hoped to support more rural villages with small development, but we were unable to do that on the evidence that came forward. But it is something that we hope to address in the future. Now, if we start taking them out, it's just the process isn't going to work. That's why we have the consultation. This goes out to consultation, people can consult, and then we will judge, we will assess the consultation responses that come back and see where we want to go with it. I think it's right that we give people the opportunity to consult on this, to express their comments, and it goes into Reg 19, so I don't support the amendment. I can't support the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Baldock. If there's no one, we're now going to go to the vote on the amendment. And can we just confirm what the amendment was, Councillor Valentine? if you'd be so kind as to repeat the amendment, and we'll go to the vote.
Yeah, that the site at Neames Forestall be withdrawn from the plan.
Thank you, Councillor Ballantyne.
90 houses, I think it's more than one site, sorry, Mr. Mayor.
It's, yeah, I'm sorry, yes, there's three sites, it's 90 houses, but we've added 564 back in.
Thank you, Councillor Ballantyne. We're going to go straight to the vote now. So we're now voting on the amendment.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. You need a seconder for that.
There was a seconder.
We've had a...
Councillor Martin seconded.
Yeah, Martin seconded it. We will now proceed to the vote. Councillor Baldock.
Against.
Councillor Beart.
Against.
Councillor Bonney.
Against.
Councillor Bowen.
Against.
Councillor Carnell.
Against.
Councillor Councillor Farnborough.
Against.
Councillor Darby.
Against.
Councillor Davey.
Against.
Councillor Dendor.
Against.
Councillor Ellen.
Against.
Councillor Fowle.
Against.
Councillor Gibson.
Against.
Councillor Gould.
Against.
Councillor Hall.
Against.
Councillor Anne Hampshire.
Against.
Councillor Nicholas Hampshire.
Against.
Councillor Harrison.
Against.
Councillor Houghton.
Abstain.
Councillor Hunt.
Against.
Councillor Ingleton. Councillor Ingleton. We'll come back to Councillor Ingleton. Councillor Jackson.
For.
Councillor Jays.
Against.
Councillor Knights.
For.
Councillor MacDonald.
For.
Councillor Marchington.
Against.
Councillor Ben A. Martin.
For.
Councillor Ben J. Martin.
Against.
Councillor McCall.
Against.
Councillor Neil.
Against.
Councillor Nasanga.
Against.
Councillor Palmer.
Against.
Councillor Perkin.
Against.
Councillor Pugh.
Against.
Councillor Rolls.
Against.
Councillor Saunders.
Against.
Councillor Simmons.
Abstain.
Myself, against. Councillor Sarah Stephen.
Against.
Councillor Tatton.
Against.
Councillor Thomas.
Against.
Councillor Truelove.
Against.
Councillor Ballantyne.
For.
Councillor Whelan.
Against.
Councillor Whiting.
Against.
Councillor Winkless. Councillor Winkless.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Against.
Councillor Woodford.
Against.
Thank you, members. Just wait till I add them up. One, two, three, four, five. One abstain. And two abstain. Abstain. So I make it 44, two against, two abstain and five against. Do we concur on that?
Mr. Mayor, I think all of us in on the officer side had problems with our sound connection for some reason during that vote, but that does tally with what we've got. Thank you.
Thank you. So,
point of order, I thought that was more against than for.
More against. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It was four. It was five in favour, I think, and the remainder against.
Sorry, five in favour. The other way round. So my fault. I said it the wrong way round. Anyway, the amendment has fallen. We will now return to the original motion. And the next speaker is Councillor Nicholas Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm somewhat surprised with the Cabinet Member for Planning, Councillor Baldock, this evening by his actions tonight. I mean, he criticised the Conservative administration for not consulting properly on its local plan. And it seems to me as if he's learnt nothing from that experience. As you know, I represent Borden and Grove Park, and I have a somewhat rather controversial application from the last local plan, that being Wises Lane. And I have to say, I was somewhat pleased to see it being removed, but actually it's been put in. And it's been put in because actually it goes to the very heart of the hastiness of this plan. And if you don't plan properly, you get a bad plan. And that is exactly what we have been presented this evening. And the very fact it's had to be changed this evening goes to the heart of the fact that it's a bad plan. Why was Wises Lane removed and most of the sites around Baldon and that? Probably because Councillor Baldock actually doesn't live too far away from Wises Lane. It's a bit more about protecting his own fiefdom than actually acting in the interests of the whole borough. Now, tonight at the start, we've shown ourselves to be a highly compassionate council. And yet, in the same breath, this administration is showing itself to be a bullying council. If it wants a plan that people can buy into, it needs to go out and consult on it before piecing together everyone's points of view and coming up with a draft to then finally go out to consultation on the minutiae detail that gets, you know, councillors may be excited, but others not so. He has learned absolutely nothing from the experience of the last 4 years, and I feel immense sympathy for the communities that are going to be devastated by what is being proposed tonight. Councillor Baldock has not just let himself down this evening, not just the whole of Swale down this evening, but his own local community down this evening. He promised protect Baldon, and tonight he has shown that he cannot protect Baldon, and he's going to inflict misery across those that are living out in Faversham and out in Tenham with what he's proposing tonight. Perhaps he should have been the one that left the Cabinet and not Councillor Valentine.
Thank you, Councillor Hampshire. Councillor Beard, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. As one of the three ward members for Queenborough and Halfway, one you've already heard from, this is a ward that is planned, if this plan proceeds, we will see an increase of over 3,000 houses with very little evidence so far of additional infrastructure to support them. You'll forgive me for momentarily taking a rather parochial view of these proposals before us. We are not against housing in Queenborough. In Queenborough, we have a brownfield site that has been planned for a significant number of houses since 2007, but so far has yielded only 100. The quality has been extremely low, even with millions of pounds of central government funding pumped into it. And my residents fail to see how proposals to add even more allocated units in this area on an adjacent greenfield site helps bring that development forward. If anything, it completely dilutes any prospect of it happening. This greenfield site was put forward as a garden community in the call for sites in 2018 and subsequently withdrawn as it had no real hope of progressing. Yet it has now returned with increased numbers an unclear proposal and ever-changing goalposts. At numerous meetings, concerns have been raised that there have not been satisfactorily answered. In the space of a year, it has gone from 800 units on a greenfield site to 850 units on a greenfield brownfield hybrid, which now incorporates land that isn't in the ownership of the scheme promoter. Yet when this has been raised, the answer is it's for the applicants to deal with. Is that an appropriate way to produce a sound local plan? In the site submission in the SHLA, our own officers concluded that this site had a distinct, and I quote, lack of any immediate services and facilities, and the site was, and I quote again, not considered to be in an is considered to be in an unsustainable location, not suitable for residential development, and yet it is before us this evening. CPRE Kent contacted me raising concerns about this site when it appeared in the local paper. Their view, and I quote again, was that additional housing sites are not required to be allocated on Sheppey due to the council always significantly underestimating local plan allocations. It is evident that steps have been skipped, corners cut, and there is no desire for proper consultation. The result is we are presented with an unfinished plan that is full of holes, and we should be embarrassed to be considering it. I will not be supporting this plan, and I hope Sheppey members will reject this evening as they promised at the elections.
Thank you, Councillor Burt. Councillor Ellen, do you still wish to speak?
However, it's not just down to what the council can do. It's
I'm sorry, Councillor Ellen, we couldn't hear any of that. If you'd like to switch your video off and then speak, it might help. Okay, I think we'll have to move on. And Councillor Palmer, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to put this in a little bit of context, the local plan review, and let's get that right. If you cast your mind back to the report on the examination of the Swale local plan dated the 20th June 2017, Bearings Fruit, and it covers the period up to 2031, it was made clear by the inspector, Sue Turner, that Bearings Fruit needed an early review. The plan Bearing Fruit was adopted and the review of Bearings Fruit commenced. The council voted to commence the local plan review at the same meeting the current local plan Bearings Fruit was adopted. The reasons given for the early review was mainly viability issues in Sittingbourne and West Sheppey and the major constraints on the strategic highway. It should be noted in the report that the inspector submitted to Turner at paragraph 22, it highlights first, it is argued that the strategy of two planning areas should be reconsidered because the Thames Gateway is now under review by the Thames Estuary 2015 Growth Commission, whose remit extends beyond the Thames Gateway boundary to include the whole of North Kent. The Commissioner's paper, the Thames Estuary Opportunities and Challenges, covers an area which extends beyond the Thames Gateway area and includes the whole of Swale Borough. And the second argument, it is argued that further growth in the Thames Gateway area would have a harmful effect on the highway network and the separation of settlements, and that directing growth away from Faversham and that rural area that surrounds it is overtly restrictive and does not represent positive planning. The inspector made clear that the plan needed an early review. There has been extensive consultation between councillors, and I was quite surprised to receive some
emails from parish councils saying they didn't know anything about this, well, then I think they need to ask their parish councillors, or sorry, their ward councillors, why they didn't know. This review has many policies which, and some of them have been alluded to, which we can be proud of, including some on the environment, affordable housing, biodiversity.
30 seconds left.
This review is sharing housing across the borough. And isn't it strange that Gordon Henderson campaigned to put all the housing in Faversham and Helen Whateley sending round, not in my area? I'd like to ask my Conservative colleagues, do they support Gordon or Helen? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Palmer. Councillor Fowle, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I apologise if I repeat some of what has been said earlier. I am the third ward councillor at Queenborough and Halfway. And again, I just have to voice the concerns of many of my residents that have approached me. I fully understand the need for housing. Even without government targets, there is always a need for properties as the population increases. It is provided in this need in a fair and equitable manner. Queenborough is the forgotten jewel in Swales Crown with its vibrant heritage, historic roots, but alas, the perception of many, as is with the rest of the island, it is the poor relation, so let's use it as Swales Land Bank for housing, out of sight, out of mind. With the local plan and approved stock, there is actually over 3,000 extra additional housing units proposed, which is, in anyone's reasonable view, an unfair burden on Queenborough. Let's not forget, we have no basic amenities. We don't even have a doctor's surgery. We will lose our post office very shortly, and no public transport links. Some of the allocated areas are currently marine-based employment, which would then, under the proposals, be replaced with housing. Again, let's not forget, Queenborough is a working port and dependent on these employment opportunities. The Harbour Trust last year had over 2,000 visiting boats. Let's keep the jobs and not replace them with housing or the overspill from other areas when offsetting social housing needs. I quote from the last review meeting, you get more bang for your money, indicating let's build on the island, as some areas it would appear in Swale are ring-fenced. We need to address the mindset that, rightly or wrongly, the island, in many of my residents' eyes, is always at the bottom of the food chain, playing second fiddle to our neighbours, and this has to be addressed in a local plan. I must repeat, we must not be the easy solution to meet housing targets. There has to be a fair solution that means it's spread around Swale proportionally. For the reason above, I cannot vote in favour of the plan, and I hope that my fellow councillors representing wards or parish councils of the island will do the same. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Fowle. Councillor Ben A. Martin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ask Councillor Baldock a question, if I may, and that is, assuming that this is approved this evening and it goes to public consultation, how will the public consultations and the public consultation responses be integrated into the local plan document in order for the inspector to understand the comments made by the public?
Thank you, Councillor Martin. Councillor Simmons, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Tonight, members are asked to agree that the Local Plan Review 2021 is a sound local plan that can go out for pre-submission consultation. We are told that it is a sound plan and that changes can only be made if faults in the process are identified. It is the way in which the content has been arrived at which call into question the process and the soundness of the plan. Much of the concern of local residents and parish councils throughout the borough is focused on how the local plan aims to cluster new developments around Faversham. This is contrary to the previous proposals subject to consultation, and given the lack of transport evidence, please, can Councillor Baldock confirm that the necessary evidence has been provided to justify this clustering around locations with significant highway concerns and air quality hotspots? If the evidence is available to justify the inclusion of these locations, please could it be presented for consideration? The detailed work which has been done to date suggests development in these locations would not pass the necessary highway and air quality tests required to justify their inclusion in the local plan. This is especially the case in the borough that is currently trying to push against significant highway improvements funded by national government, and in doing so, willfully undermining transport infrastructure in the borough, thereby exacerbating congestion, highway safety and air quality issues. Doing this will surely lead to the council being legally challenged and risks the council facing further costs, which our taxpayers will not welcome. I will leave it to others to question the area of opportunity in Linstead and Tenham. I cannot imagine how councillors representing wards to the east of Tenham, especially Watling Ward in Faversham, could possibly support this local plan with a clear conscience. Please can Councillor Baldock tell me how building a Tenham bypass will improve the air quality in Ospringe? I am alarmed that we continue to build on Grade 1 agricultural land, best and most versatile. So finally, please can Councillor Baldock tell me how many hectares
30 seconds
of grade 3 land are required to produce the same amount of food as each grade 1 hectare which is built on? I will not be supporting tonight's recommendations. I wish to call for a recorded vote, and please could Councillor Baldock put the recommendation 5, which he introduced this evening, on the IM for us to read. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I second the recorded vote, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Bowen.
And me, Councillor Baldock.
Agreed.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Agreed, Councillor Palmer.
Okay, the recorded vote we shall have. I'd like to call for a 5-minute adjournment as a nature call. So it is now...
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, you went mute when you said you were going to call a break, so we weren't sure what time we're coming back.
We're coming back at 25 past 8. Thank you. Welcome back, members. Let's restart the meeting. And can I just do a quick roll call, please, to see if everyone is in attendance? Councillor Baldock?
Here.
Councillor Burt?
Present.
Councillor Bonney? Yes. Councillor Bowen?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Carnell?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Roger Clark?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
And Councillor Simon Clark?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Darby?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Davey?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Dendor? Councillor Dendor? Councillor Ellen?
Agree.
Councillor Fowle?
Here.
Councillor Gibson?
Yes, here.
Councillor Gould?
Present.
Councillor Hall?
Yes.
Councillor Anne Hampshire?
Yes.
Councillor Nicholas Hampshire?
Here.
Councillor Harrison?
Present.
Councillor Halton? Councillor Halton? Councillor Hunt?
Wouldn't miss it.
Councillor Ingleton?
Here.
Councillor Jackson?
Here.
Councillor Jays?
Present.
Councillor Knight?
Present.
Councillor MacDonald?
Present.
Councillor Martinson?
Here.
Councillor Ben J. Martin?
Here.
Councillor Ben J. Martin?
Present.
Councillor McCall?
Present.
Councillor Neil?
Present.
Councillor Nisanga?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Palmer?
Enjoy over 100 Xbox games with 12 months of Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, here.
Councillor Perkin?
Present.
Councillor Pugh?
Present, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Rolls? Councillor Saunders?
Here.
Councillor Simmons?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
I'm here. Councillor Sarah Stephen?
I'm next to him.
Councillor Tatton?
Here.
Councillor Thomas?
Here.
Councillor Truelove?
Here.
Councillor Valentine?
Here.
Councillor Whelan?
Here.
Councillor Whiting?
Present, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Winkless?
Present.
Councillor Woodford?
Here.
Councillor Dendor?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Mayor. PC problems again, sorry.
Councillor Halton?
He is present. He's put on the message.
Oh, okay, he's present. I've got him, thank you. Rolls. And Councillor Rolls? Anyone haven't heard from his Councillor Rolls?
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Rolls did briefly appear, as you said, his name earlier.
Right. Can we continue?
Please do.
Oh, thank you. Okay, then
can you hear me, Mr. Mayor? Alan Horton.
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
I am present. Thank you.
The next councillor to speak is Councillor Whelan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, like comments made earlier, two areas I'd like to comment on. The first is the transport strategy, where they said there was insufficient detail and it needs redoing. Well, I know we were assured not long ago that there had been sufficient high-level amendments to give a reasonable and acceptable outcome in relation to the local plan. So I don't think that should be a reason to hold up a decision tonight and hold up the whole procedure. The second area was obviously regards housing numbers. We've been told over and over again that our hands are tied. And that's been since July last year, where we have to use a government standard calculation for the local housing needs assessment. There is no if question at all. is only where and when, because the numbers we have little control over. And I know representation has been made to have it reduced, but without a great deal of success. So we must approve the plan tonight. It will leave us defenceless against the machinations of developers if we fail to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Whelan. Councillor Bonney, please.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Good, right, lovely. Thank you. I've been on the council quite a few years now, and I have been through this local plan process a couple of times now. And the last local plan review with Sue Turner, I was actually sat in on quite a few days of that. So I'm fully versed in how the local plan process works. And it is, without doubt, probably the most long-winded one. It was a process that started with a previous administration taken over by us. And it is fair to say that I don't think anyone on this meeting would welcome the numbers that we've been landed by central government. And that's the first thing. Central government has dumped this on us. Previously, we worked on a local need. We'd work out what the local needs of our towns and villages were. This isn't derived that way. It is a formula from central government. So it is an extremely emotive subject. I know that. I represent a community, and I know exactly what it's like to hold a community's hand through a consultation process. And some might say, well, it's not an effective process. But actually, to keep going out to the public on a similar subject or many iterations actually loses the public. And I can remember in previous iterations where we'd consult on this and then they'd make a small change and everybody would be thinking, where are you trying to trip me up? What is it? Have we missed something? I think to go out with a consultation like this is right and appropriate. Government sets these targets, and let's just not forget that. We've got two MPs who say, here, you put it over there. No, you put it that way. They can't even agree on that. This is the process of government. It has continued, local government and central government, throughout this pandemic. And to my mind, they've not halted that. So that means we have to continue. It puts us in a really horrible position. But if we do not continue and put in place a local plan, we will be left wide open. Many of us that have sat on the planning committee have sat there where we haven't had the housing numbers, the 5-year supply. And then we've seen applications go to us.
30 seconds left.
And I think if we don't want to be in that position again, we have really no real prospect of defending ourselves. We must tonight vote this through.
Thank you, Councillor Bonney. Councillor Ben J. Martin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The pursuit of perfection is the enemy of the good. That's what we're discussing tonight. We could spend years trying to come up with the perfect local plan, doing the perfect review, but it's not possible. Perfection, by its very nature, is unattainable. Whatever you do in a local plan review, there are going to be winners and losers. But let's not throw out the good simply because of our concerns for our own ward. I could quite rightly stand here and say about the number of dwellings proposed for my ward, but I believe that we have to look at the greater good for the whole borough. I think we have to look at the positive elements in this plan. For example, policies DM14 on small and medium builders, policy DM15 on affordable housing, and DM16 on rural exception sites. All put additional abilities for the likes of community-led housing initiatives to come forward and deliver more affordable housing for our residents. It brings forward the ability for affordable housing to actually be brought across the entire borough, something which currently we cannot do. It brings with it the ability to look for the small and medium enterprise builders when it comes to the small sites in the windfall allocations. Again, something that we can't currently do. At the moment, windfall benefits the big boys, not the small local builder who lives down the bottom of your road. This plan changes that. This plan is a plan that can work. It is a plan that delivers the types of affordable housing we need. It delivers the style of affordable housing we need. It delivers the quantum. It gives us the standards in terms of Homes for Life standard. It gives us the wheelchair adapted numbers that we need. At the moment, officers have to sit and argue about that with developers. This gives them another string to their bow to get what people in this borough need. And actually, you know, we're not the only council in this position. And I know COVID has caused all sorts of problems and it's going to cause some issues in terms of how we would run the consultation. But actually tonight, as we're meeting, so is Tunbridge Wells Council doing exactly the same thing. The simple fact is the process hasn't stopped. Government haven't extended the timelines for us to change.
30 seconds left.
So we have a choice. We either progress now or we leave ourselves at the whim of the big boy developers. And I think this is a good plan that can be implemented, and I will be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Martin. Councillor Bowen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to put something to you as ward councillors to think about before you cast your vote later this evening. I do appreciate that there is a need for housing across the borough. Whether we like it or not, house building will always be a contentious subject, and a local plan is no easy plan to write. The proposal for my ward, Tenman Linstead, includes the idea of two new roads in order to accommodate 1,400 plus new houses over and above what is currently in the plan and carrying forward. This equates to a 60% increase to the total of houses in Linstead and 40% in Tedham. That's the first idea for you to consider. Would you look to accept that in your wards and villages? However, the idea of the new roads you may think sounds great. A new road to ease traffic. Brilliant! But is it? The plan includes these roads, but it doesn't say where they will go. There is no starting point or end point. It doesn't say where it will cut through Linstead Village. It doesn't say where it will cut off from the A2 and where it will rejoin. It is definitely not going to connect to the M2, and neither will it bypass Faversham. Residents in Abbey, East Down, Merston, Priory, Roman, St Anne's, Watling, West Downs and in other wards that requires residents to use the A2 between Faversham and Sittingbourne will be affected by this plan. Why? Because the additional traffic volumes these developments will bring with them. KCC has said that the A2 in its current form from Tenham to Key Street cannot support further developments in Tenham. Not only will these proposals bring additional traffic, but with it additional pollution. Additional pollution not only from NOx, but other pollutants into the AQMAs along the A2. AQMAs in Ospringe, East Street, maybe others in the borough. It will increase the pollution because the bypass will attract more traffic in these areas, creating with it a greater bottleneck in the AQMAs and beyond, to which this plan has no answer. Pollution that does and will do harm to health. If you think about your children and grandchildren or loved ones who may want to live in Swale in the coming years, as I hope my daughter will do, I want them to have the opportunity to live here, which is why I accept there is a need of housing. But also we should not be forcing a potential death sentence on them or health worries because of our decisions. I ask and beg members to really think about this before you vote. Think about how you would feel if this was your ward. Think about how your residents would feel. Think about the people both of today and in years to come who will suffer detriment because of this local plan. There are alternatives to be explored. Tenham is not an area of opportunity. It will be an area of destruction and health risk. It isn't NIMBYism. It is protecting the public health and well-being throughout the A2 corridor and protecting our beautiful villages and hamlets. 2 years ago, many members now in this
virtual
chamber campaigned for and won on their stance regarding housing. 2 years on, we have a proposal here that does the opposite. This isn't party politics. We have enough of that on other subjects. But this we must see from the point of view of our electorate and what they voted in to do. To agree this plan for consultation will be an insult to those who voted for us on housing grounds. Members tonight can carry out the duty to which they were elected, or they can turn their backs on the electorate and have thousands of houses built in areas that simply cannot cope. It's in your hands, not party hands. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bowen. Councillor Jays, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Tonight we are taking part in one of the most important votes of all our four-year term in office. This is the most important task the council is tasked with. I say tasked with. We are forced to meet the Conservative government's arbitrary housing targets. This is despite the House of Commons Library publishing that there are 648,114 homes sitting empty around the country as of October last year. That's a rise of 2.2% from the previous year's total. Do we need to build more, or should the government be bringing these 2/3 of a million homes back into use? The government has taken the easy option and punishes the public and the councils and pushes out more new homes while these homes lie empty. We have homeless on the streets, families sofa surfing, people with no choice but to live in caravans or substandard chalets for much of the year, including so many key workers. We have young adults living at home for longer and longer as they cannot get onto the housing ladder. Some people don't want to live at home with their parents forever. This might include some members around the council. This government continues to fail us on so many issues, and yet it is us local councillors who are blamed for these diktats from the Conservative government. On the small numbers we have been asked to put out to public consultation on the island, we are certainly not talking about the numbers the previous administration put out, which are affecting communities across Sheppey. These previous sites include Belgrave Road, Admiral's Walk, Barkins Hill Drive, Thistle Hill, East Church, the Rushenden development, and many smaller sites in Halfway and Rushenden. These previous sites total 2,764 homes. Members opposite can and have jumped up and down as much as they like when these sites go to the planning committee, but they should never forget it was their party that delivered these developments. Does the leader opposite wish us to hold out for higher numbers from his government? As he said, his government was elected on the promise to build millions of more houses. No real decision is ours. Is the Conservative government dumping targets on us? And it will be the Conservative government's own appointed inspector who will decide on the local plan after seeing all public responses. Other Minster councillors haven't spoke, as they know it is a good plan for Minster and much of the island. We are asked to send this report out to public consultation so we can hear the views from the public. So let us do that. Let us give them time to comment on the report. Let them make their own minds up instead of reading the same old Conservative spin that is all over Facebook and the internet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chase. As there's no more members wishing to speak, I'd like to ask Councillor Baldock to sum up, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a little disappointed in the Tory representations tonight, as it's all about not in my area and nothing about what they would have put in a local plan. They have repeated questions about traffic, how will it be managed, air quality, what will be the impacts, what about infrastructure. Yet this is all in documents that have already been to the local plan panel or are already in the public domain. You know, there is the infrastructure delivery plan, the transport strategy. All these documents answer the questions that they're talking about tonight. It is a little frustrating. And it's frustrating that people are so concerned that they haven't been made aware of these proposals. They've been in the public domain for ages. It is really down to ward members to keep on top of what's happening with the council and to get back to their parishes and their residents and let them know what's happening. Not a week before decisions are made, but you know, months before, as people have had the opportunity here. So I'm really disappointed at the lack of engagement by those opposite with their local residents and the parish councils. They talk a lot about, there's going to be pollution here, there's going to be congestion there. Yep, where do they think 10,000 houses that the government's imposing is going to be able to turn up without traffic congestion and without pollution? Officers would not let us go to consultation if they did not think we had the right evidence to support doing so and the right reports that have already been submitted. We're accused of going in haste, yet I've already explained at length, if we don't go now, if we reject this tonight, we will be 12, 18 months away. And I don't see anything from the opposition saying what would be a good plan where they would like to see houses. They'll object to it again then. And in the meantime, developers will be coming forward. I've warned people what will happen if we don't pass this tonight. We will have applications for Barton Hill Extra. We will have applications for the Hystead Valley. We will have applications for 2,000 houses between Bapchild and Tenham. We will have the Garden Village for Bobbin coming in shortly. We will have 1,400 houses in Dunkirk coming forward. If that's the approach to housing that councillors want to take, that's the alternative. The safe alternative is to support this local plan. Nothing is perfect when you're dealing with these sort of targets. Nothing is perfect when the government is forcing our hand. And yet, I think we have come up with a strategy that has good policies and delivers with the minimum of harm. No, it's not perfect, but nothing can be in this situation. So I really hope people engage tonight, support this policy, and shut the door on the dangerous, aggressive applications that are likely to come forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Baldock. Now it's time, members, to take this to the vote. And as requested, I think we can do a recorded vote. And I'd like to start with Councillor Baldock, please.
I'll go for. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Beard.
Wholeheartedly against.
Councillor Bonney.
For.
Councillor Bowen.
For my residents, against.
Councillor Carnell.
For.
Councillor Roger Clark.
Totally against.
Councillor Simon Clark.
Definitely for.
Councillor Darby.
For.
Councillor Davey.
For.
Councillor Dendor.
Against.
Councillor Ellen.
For.
Thank you. Councillor Fowle.
Against.
Councillor Gibson.
For.
Councillor Gould.
For.
Councillor Hall.
For.
Councillor Anne Hampshire.
Against.
Councillor Nicholas Hampshire.
Against.
Councillor Harrison.
For.
Councillor Halton.
Against.
Councillor Hunt.
Against.
Councillor Ingleton.
Against.
Councillor Jackson.
Reluctantly for.
Councillor Jays.
For.
Councillor Knight.
Yep, for.
Councillor MacDonald.
Against.
Councillor Marchington.
Against.
Councillor Ben J. A. Martin. Sorry, Councillor A. Martin. Ben. We'll come back to them. Councillor Ben J. Martin.
For.
Councillor McCall.
For.
Councillor Neil.
Against.
Councillor Nisanga.
Against.
Councillor Palmer.
For.
Councillor Perkin.
For.
Councillor Pugh.
Against.
Councillor Rowles.
For.
Councillor Saunders.
For.
Councillor Simmons.
Against.
Myself, for. Councillor Sarah Stephen.
For.
Councillor Tatton.
For.
Councillor Thomas.
For.
Councillor Truelove.
For. For.
Thank you. Councillor Valentine.
For. Oh.
Councillor Whelan.
For.
Councillor Whiting.
Against.
Councillor Winkless.
For.
Councillor Woodford.
For.
We're just after Councillor Benjamin A. Martin.
For, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
For it.
Mm-hmm. I have results, and it's 34-17 against. The motion is carried. Thank you very much. Members and public, that is the end of the meeting. Thank you very much for your indulgence, and I wish you all a good night.